The Heart of Restoration, written by Ranger Jedi 67 and read by Flower Parish. This is a Merlin fic rated for teen and up audiences, and it is part 3 of the Oaths, Hearts, and Other Breakable Things series. Summary: none of them saw the assassin until it was too late, except Leon. Chapter 1. The Assassin. Leon had taken deadly wounds before. That didn't prepare him for how much this one hurt. As the pain engulfed him, two thoughts tumbled through his mind. First, better him than Arthur. Second, perhaps dying for Arthur would be enough to earn his king's forgiveness, and he'd be granted full knight's honors at his funeral. "You're going to be all right." A flicker of amusement slipped through the pain. Merlin still was a terrible liar. As the pain grew to be too much and his eyes slid closed, Leon swore he saw Arthur's face and heard Arthur's voice saying his name in distress. None of them saw the assassin until it was too late, except Leon. Leon moved with the speed Arthur had admired as a young squire. He threw himself in front of Arthur faster than Arthur could react. Arthur had Excalibur in hand a heartbeat later, but it was a heartbeat too long. Leon went down, and Arthur felt fiery rage burn through him. How dare this assassin do this? Apparently, hitting Leon and not Arthur distracted the assassin, as all it took was a single swing of Excalibur to eliminate him. He dropped to his knees beside Merlin, who was already cradling the badly injured knight. "Leon," Arthur cried, pain and fear lancing his tone, and for once he didn't give a damn what anyone else thought. His first knight's eyes were hazy with pain as they drifted closed and stayed that way. Fear gripped Arthur's heart. "No, no, no. Not Leon. Not like this." "Gawain has gone for Gaius," Merlin said. Arthur shook his head. "It'll be faster to take Leon to Gaius." Uncaring of the fact that he was in his court attire, Arthur went to pick Leon up. A gentle hand on his arm stopped him. "I've got him, sire," Percival assured, tone far warmer than it had been in recent weeks. It didn't surprise him that his open, obvious concern for Leon earned a thawing, however slight, of things with the other members of the Round Table. Reluctantly, Arthur nodded and allowed Percival to lift Leon from the ground. While Arthur could have done it, Percival could do it with greater ease and likely greater comfort for Leon. Elian ran ahead to make sure any doors between them were open. "He's strong," Merlin murmured. Arthur hoped, desperately, that it was enough. With a sharp order, he dismissed the court and hurried to follow the rapidly retreating Percival. Only absently did he notice Merlin thinking to grab the assassin's blade. Space was hurriedly cleared in Gaius's chambers, and Percival lay Leon down. "Gaius, check the blade," Merlin said, feeling dazed. Turning to him, Gaius demanded, "Merlin, what are you doing?" With a shaky hand, Merlin gestured towards Leon. "He's fading, Gaius, far faster than he should be, and if I stop it myself..." Merlin trailed off. Gaius nodded sharply and turned to face Elian. "I need you to do exactly as I say," Gaius said. "It's imperative to know if the blade was poisoned, and if so, with what, if we are to save Leon's life. Merlin, just keep him from slipping away." Elian squared his shoulders. "Just tell me what you need." Gaius smiled. "Good lad." He gave Elian the list of ingredients to pull from his shelves. Turning to Percival, he said, I need a large bowl of clean water. To Gwen, I need a small pot over the fire. The knights all sprang into action, eager to do anything they could to help. What would you have me do? Arthur asked quietly. With an understanding, sad smile, Gaius replied, Help me get his chainmail and shirt off. By the time Gaius and Arthur had Leon stripped down, Elian had pulled everything from his list. Gaius gave Arthur strict instructions on what to do for the bleeding before going to Elian. Now we add the right amounts to Gwen's pot and find out what we're dealing with, Gaius explained, as he began to measure out what he needed. Percival hovered nearby with the requested water. And that will tell us how to save Leon. Merlin answered him so Gaius didn't have to. It will tell us what to try. Arthur looked at him sharply. And you can't just heal him, Arthur demanded. Ducking his head, Merlin replied, I'm not a skilled healer, and even if I was, the old religion would demand a life, Arthur. That's how it works. There's a balance to all things. Right now, I'm slowing the poison. If I healed him outright, someone else would die. Do you think Leon would want that? Arthur looked away, but not before Merlin caught the complex look flickering across his face. There was a small part of Arthur selfish enough to demand it, but the rest of him knew Leon would never forgive that. Sitting at Leon's bedside days later, Arthur could admit, even if only to himself, that in that moment, part of him hadn't cared what Leon would want. He'd only cared that Leon survived. Fortunately for them all, Gaius and Merlin kept leveler heads and it never came to that. Arthur freely acknowledged that he wasn't the best with emotions. His father had seen to that. He'd never forget the feeling of utter betrayal when he'd learned that not only did Merlin have magic, but Leon had known and kept it a secret. His later conversation with Leon played itself over and over in his mind. Leon swearing that his decision was not out of loyalty to Merlin, but rather out of love for Arthur himself. Arthur couldn't help himself. He believed it. The look in Leon's eyes when Arthur had insisted he look up from where he knelt at Arthur's side, Arthur needed that to be real. Still, it all hurt. So he stepped back from Leon while he dealt with it. They'd barely spoken in weeks. He'd never intended for it to be obvious that there was a rift between him and Leon. Lines had been drawn among the round table, but he'd expected that. It was the court that he'd thought he could hide it from. Unfortunately, Arthur knew that the rest of his court had noticed. Leon was his first knight, his right hand, never far from his side when he held court or a council session. Leon oversaw the knights and their training. The pair of them shared many a late night, conferring about the younger knights and squires and their progress in training, discussing patrols and the security of the kingdom, and all manner of related topics. All of those things had simply hurt too much in the aftermath of everything. Their sudden absence was more obvious than Arthur had realized they would be. Like hounds on the scent of blood, the power-hungry and those eager for influence did their damnedest to pounce on the situation. Arthur had snapped at more than one of them in the last weeks. Gwen, who Arthur knew to be far wiser than he could ever hope to be when it came to feelings, had assured him that he wasn't wrong to feel hurt. Merlin made what truly was the best choice given the situation. Realistically, so had Leon. That didn't mean those choices didn't have consequences. Running a weary hand over his face, Arthur once again found himself wishing that he and Gwen had been able to make things work. She could have smoothed a great many things over in that gentle but commanding way she had. He knew their choice was best, that he'd never have been able to fully give her his heart as she deserved, but he still cared deeply for her and respected her. You must rest, sire, Gaius urged, drawing Arthur out of his thoughts. It's been days since you last got proper sleep. Shaking his head, Arthur replied, Sleep won't come. No point in trying. He'd sit at Leon's bedside until his first knight breathed his last or surprised them all and pulled through. And anyone who thought to convince him otherwise would regret it. Even that first night, when they'd gotten Leon stable enough that Gaius felt he could be moved somewhere more comfortable and the adrenaline had worn off, Arthur couldn't sleep. And now, he couldn't leave. He needed to be there when Leon woke. If he woke up. Gods, Arthur needed him to wake. With a sad but knowing look, Gaius rested a hand on Arthur's shoulder. Leon is a knight of Camelot. He will always protect you. If the cost of that is his own life, it is one he is willing to pay, Gaius reminded him gently. That is the oath he freely swore. Arthur heard the gentle chastisement in those words. Everything from swearing that oath to throwing himself between Arthur and a would-be assassin was something Leon chose. Yes, well, his oath also involves obeying his king, and I do not give him permission to die like this, Arthur snarled, guilt and pain and regret mixing into a heavy, pained thing in his stomach. Not now, especially not now. Gaius squeezed Arthur's shoulder, offering the only comfort he could. He assumed I'd strip him of his position, Arthur started slowly. Not just as my first knight, or as part of my round table, but as a knight at all. He thought I'd cast him aside, throw him out after everything he's done for me, for Camelot. Morgana offered him power if he swore allegiance to her and he refused. His loyalty has never wavered, but he... Arthur trailed off. With a sigh, Gaius sat down on the stool beside Arthur's chair. Leon's choice hurt you personally. He knew that was a real possibility, Gaius replied quietly, but his service as a knight has never been in question. Arthur shook his head. He knelt at my feet and assured me he'd accept any punishment I deemed fit without complaint. Swallowing hard, Arthur continued, I know what my father would have done, and I don't know if it's a good thing or a sign of weakness that it never even crossed my mind to actually do it myself. Wincing, Gaius murmured, Your father would have stripped Leon of his position, then likely had him beaten, and for something of this magnitude, he'd have executed him for treason. Nodding faintly, Arthur whispered hoarsely, I couldn't. Not Leon. What does that say about me, Gaius? That I let someone get away with treason if I care about them enough? Once more, Gaius reached out and placed a hand on Arthur's shoulder. You didn't even consider it because you know, in your heart, that his intentions were good. He was not seeking to harm you or Camelot. If your people were threatened, or worse, by his actions, I have no doubt that you'd be able to order and carry out a fitting punishment, Gaius assured. But while he is a knight sworn to your service, in the end, your heart sees this as a matter between Arthur and Leon, not between the king and his first knight. Blinking slowly, Arthur considered that. Gaius had a point. Merlin wasn't a threat to Camelot. More importantly, he was loyal to Arthur. Those facts were key to Leon's decision. If he felt Merlin couldn't be trusted, Leon would have come to him immediately. Arthur knew that beyond doubt. Is it weakness to forgive them both so easily? Arthur asked quietly. He knew there was some irony in asking Gaius, another person who had kept the secret from him, but this was different. Merlin was Gaius's ward. Protecting him and keeping his secret was a matter of course for him. And Gaius understood magic in a way Arthur never could. Understood Merlin's position in a way only another with magic could ever do. No, Gaius replied without hesitation. Merlin and Leon are both fiercely loyal and devoted to you. Their choices were not ill-meant, and I cannot see either of them keeping such a big secret from you again. A revelation such as Merlin's can only happen once. Arthur's lips quirked into a wry grin at that. Yes, revealing one's magic would be almost impossible to top. The door opened, and a very hesitant Merlin entered with several vials. I have the medicines you asked for, Gaius, Merlin offered quietly. Looking at Leon, he asked, How is he? Standing to take the vials, Gaius replied, Still with us. It's something, at least. Staring at Merlin for a long moment, Arthur asked, Is there anything more you could do with your magic? Merlin closed his eyes and grief washed over his face. I don't know many spells for healing, Merlin admitted, words offered like a confession. I couldn't heal him completely, I don't think. The poison did damage we can't see, and I just don't have the skills for something like that. But I double-checked a few things, and I think I can help, at least enough for Gaius's skills to get Leon through this. Hesitantly, he added, "Thank you, Arthur, for being willing to trust me and my magic with his life." Looking away, Arthur tried to find words to respond to that. Trust was perhaps too strong a word. He couldn't lie and claim he trusted magic. He didn't. Arthur had seen it do too much harm to trust in it so easily. But this was Merlin. Perhaps it really was trust, in Merlin, at least. "There are healers among the druids," Merlin said tentatively, after a few heartbeats. I could find one of their camps, see if there are healing spells they could teach me." Going to the druids, what right did Arthur have to ask them to teach Merlin how to save one of his knights? After everything he'd done to them, how could he dare? "Try what you know," Arthur ordered. "If it isn't enough, we can discuss the druids." Arthur didn't know enough, hell, he didn't know anything about magic, so he had no idea what exactly Merlin did. Whatever it was made his eyes flash gold, and Arthur had to physically stop himself from flinching. When Merlin was done, he looked to Gaius. Gaius carefully checked Leon's wound and listened to his breathing. "Merlin, I do believe you were successful. Mending will take time, but if we are diligent in tending his wound so infection doesn't set in, I do believe Sir Leon will remain with us," Gaius announced. Slumping in his chair, Arthur hastily wiped away the tears of relief that threatened to fall. Chapter 2. The Long Wait. "I don't understand it," Merlin murmured hours later as he refilled their cups with heavily watered-down wine. "Why are you so much angrier at him than you are at me?" It was the middle of the night, and Merlin had stubbornly refused to leave with Gaius when Arthur sent the physician away. He supposed he should have expected it. He would have, before. But while it didn't feel like the chasm between him and Leon, there was a rift between him and Merlin that neither of them were sure how to heal. Perhaps this, sitting vigil over someone they both cared for, was a start. Arthur stared at Leon for a long moment before turning to Merlin. "I trusted him," Arthur said quietly. Merlin frowned. Are you saying you didn't trust me?" he asked, voice sounding hurt. With a huff, Arthur shook his head. Trust in Merlin had come more easily than it ever had with anyone, even Leon. Arthur hadn't heard any prophecies about himself, had never considered having a destiny of that sort, not until that day in the forest when it all went wrong. But he couldn't help but wonder if some part of him knew that Merlin was important, knew that he meant something. It was the only thing to explain how he'd accepted Merlin into his life with greater ease than he had anyone before. Now wasn't the time to dwell on such things, though, and Arthur pushed those thoughts away. "That was different. You're a servant. He's my first knight," Arthur replied, the simple answer being the easiest. That's two very different matters." It said nothing, told Merlin nothing of what Leon truly meant to him. Feelings like this still felt like weakness, his father's voice still ringing in his ears that kings couldn't be close to people. Arthur didn't want to be that sort of king. He'd whispered that confession to Leon as they sat watch together one night on a hunting trip long ago. Leon had put his hands on Arthur's shoulders, looked him straight in the eyes, and said, "Then you don't have to be." Those words had been a comforting reassurance then, but so many things had happened in the intervening years that made him fear Leon was wrong and that his father had the right of it. Still, for all that he did love his father, he knew, now anyway, that was not the sort of man he wanted to be. Perhaps he needed to start here. Slumping, Arthur admitted, "He was my first friend, Merlin." Eyes widening, Merlin asked, "Wait, really?" Arthur nodded. He set his goblet aside and ran a hand over his face wearily. Some of the high nobles had sons near my age. I was encouraged to befriend them. I did spend time with them, but I couldn't really say any of them were a friend, not in the ways that mattered. But Leon... Arthur trailed off for a long moment before gathering himself and pushing onward. He's a few years older than I am, so he was already well into his squire years when I started mine, and I started younger than is usual, since I was the prince. He was assigned to help me learn, show me all that is expected of a squire, those sorts of things. But he didn't just do that, he really took me under his wing. He became my friend, the only one I had. The sons of the higher-born nobles were only interested in what being my friend could bring their fathers. Leon, despite being noble-born, his only ambition was to be a knight and serve Camelot. I was the one who declared he'd be my first knight someday. He'd never have asked, never have presumed. He only ever wanted to earn things on his own merit. Swallowing hard, Arthur looked back at Leon. When my father's expectations seemed impossible, Leon was there to offer support. When I feared I'd never be good enough, Leon offered encouragement. Then he had to go do his kingdom circuit. The people I was with when we met, they took advantage of his absence. I was lonely and missing my only friend. Their flattery was appealing. You weren't wrong about me then. He never said it aloud, but I know Leon was disappointed in some of my behavior when he returned. Merlin stared at Arthur in surprise, as if seeing him for the first time. I never knew any of that, Merlin admitted, fingers tightening around his own goblet. All the things you've told me, and you never mentioned any of this. Smiling faintly, Arthur replied, It's not like I make a habit out of talking about such things. It was another habit ingrained in him by his father that he needed to learn how to break if he was going to be a better man, a better friend, a better king. Wincing, Merlin nodded. I suppose not. It does make your relationship with him make more sense, though. You only ever really seemed to care about your father's approval, but a few times I could have sworn you were looking at Leon for his, too. And he became so important, so just a part of everything happening in Camelot so fast. It makes sense, and I should have seen it before. Flushing a little in embarrassment, Arthur looked away. Reluctantly, Arthur admitted, I have, a few times. It's why... Why him keeping your secret hurt? He was always the one person I could rely on, that I could trust for myself. Not as Prince Arthur or King Arthur, but as just Arthur. Merlin swallowed hard as guilt welled up in his all-too-expressive eyes. He didn't want to keep it from you, Merlin said softly. He was afraid that him telling you would hurt you worse. He wanted me to tell you, kept encouraging me to tell you. But I kept coming up with excuses. I was so afraid you'd be angry at me that I never considered the position I was putting him in. I owe both of you an apology for that. I never, ever thought I could drive a wedge between you two, and I'm so, so sorry that I have. Fidgeting a little, Merlin asked, Are the rumors true? Are you going to replace him as first knight? Is he going to lose his position because of me? Arthur ran a weary hand over his face again. He'd been doing his best to ignore the rumors, but he supposed he shouldn't be surprised that Merlin had heard them. He'd need to find a good way to address it, so the rumors stopped. Then again, him spending days at Leon's bedside might just do the trick. Merlin, Arthur sighed. Merlin stiffened, horror on his face. Arthur, no, please, you can't do that to him because of me, Merlin pleaded. Leaning forward on his seat so far that for a heartbeat, Arthur feared Merlin was about to kneel of all things. It's my fault, not his. Gesturing to where Leon lay still unconscious in front of them, How can you doubt his devotion to you? Holding up a hand, Arthur replied mildly, You interrupted me. Merlin huffed and sat back on his chair. You were taking your sweet time. Rolling his eyes, Arthur said, I'm not removing him from his position of first knight. I should, no matter his intentions, no matter why he did it. Merlin, you do understand that Leon committed treason for you. Voice small, Merlin replied, I know. I never should have asked it of him. I should have come to you right away when he learned it. Never should have let it come to this. But Arthur, you have to see that he was trying to protect you. Heart aching faintly, Arthur murmured, I know. That's why I can't truly punish him for it. He did what he's always done, what he thought was in my best interest. Clearly relieved, Merlin relaxed. "He's going to pull through," Merlin said firmly. "He won't let himself die in a way that you'll blame yourself for. He's too stubborn to allow that, magical aid or no." They lapsed into silence for several long moments. "Back during the incident with Katrina the troll," Merlin asked, suddenly breaking the silence. Arthur winced at the reminder, but he understood Merlin's question. If he and Leon were truly such friends, why hadn't Leon tried to intercede for him? "After the first time my father and I nearly came to blows in a policy dispute, I insisted Leon promise me he would put Camelot first if there was ever a serious breach between myself and my father. That counted. We had no way of knowing what Katrina would do, but if he stayed in my father's good graces, Leon could at least continue to watch over Camelot and be an advocate for the people. Something we know he did, and that my father commended him for afterwards," Arthur explained. "He did disagree with my father over me being disinherited, but he did it carefully, which kept him where I needed him. It's also why he stayed behind on a few occasions when I went out to do something dangerous or inadvisable. Even when I was just a prince, I needed to know that he was there to keep things together. I needed to know that if something happened to me, there was someone here as devoted to Camelot as I am that would do all he could to keep things together." Merlin accepted the answer with ease and smiled fondly at Arthur for it. It made Arthur want to duck his head or turn away from that look. He felt too raw to deal with the feelings it caused. "And during the whole incident where I got the, 'Merlin, I think you're the only one I can trust' speech," Merlin asked. Arthur huffed. "Similar situations," Arthur replied, "though one we were handling differently. And I did mean that, in a way. Leon is just, it's different. Like, you're different, but in a different way than he is. If that makes any sense. It probably doesn't." Arthur shook his head as if to clear it. "Leon spending more time with the knights and less with me created an illusion of me being more isolated. We knew we had a traitor in our midst, we just didn't know who. If one of the people I often turned to was too busy with other duties," Merlin's eyes widened. "A potential opening for the traitor to exploit, and in doing so reveal themselves, without it being an obvious trap." "I'm actually rather impressed," Merlin said, lips quirking into a wry grin. Grumbling, Arthur admitted, "It was Leon's idea. He genuinely needed to spend more time with the others to help things find their balance again after we lost Lancelot. He just had the idea of quietly playing up how busy it made him, and therefore how he was less available to me in the meanwhile. It never occurred to either of us that the traitor could be my uncle, and therefore already had all the access to me he could want." With a wry grin of his own, Arthur added, "Leon has vowed to distrust any new person that comes within a day's ride of me, just on principle." Snickering, Merlin admitted, "Can't say I blame him." They lapsed into silence for a moment. "He knew I was William of Dara," Arthur said a moment later. Merlin physically startled in surprise. "He what?" Arthur smiled ruefully. "There are tactics to jousting, Merlin. I had, unfortunately, forgotten just how many of them I learned from Leon, including a particular trick no one but he and I use. I used it in the final bout to help compensate for my injury. It gave me away. To him, at least." Eyes wide, Merlin shook his head. "What did he say?" Merlin asked curiously. Eyes drifting back towards Leon, Arthur replied. "He said if one wants to hide, it's generally best to remember what gives you away. He also pointed out the risk I had taken, especially in light of the assassin. Then he asked if I'd found whatever I needed by doing it." Wincing, Arthur admitted, "We also rehashed the argument that started the whole thing. Hell, to this day he admits he'd pull out of a hit like that in a practice joust every time. In his mind, there's a difference between what is acceptable risk to me in a tournament versus practice or training." Smiling softly, Merlin nodded. "I could see that. He's always concerned for your safety," Merlin pointed out. Nodding, Arthur sighed. "I told him I didn't agree with him, but that I realized neither of us would change our minds by arguing, so we didn't argue it further," Arthur explained. I think I was still hurt and angry about it for longer than I realized. It was weeks before we really talked again." Wincing, Merlin said, "His actions hurt your feelings and your pride. Can't say I'm surprised it took you a bit." Inclining his head, Arthur accepted the words. There was a moment of quiet before Arthur spoke again. "I've enjoyed watching you two become friendly," Arthur admitted. "I know it sounds ridiculous, but there's just something comforting, perhaps, about it to me. Watching you two joke together. He ruffles your hair, and you let him. Seeing two of the people who mean the most to me get along so well, it..." He trailed off for a moment before smiling softly. "It's nice." The words didn't really express his feelings on the subject well enough, but Merlin always seemed to understand even what he struggled to say. Merlin smiled. "I didn't really think it could happen, you know? Thought he was too much one of your father's knights. But it was almost like..." Merlin paused, wincing as if reconsidering his words. Arthur nudged him. "Just say it, Merlin." Grimacing, Merlin said, "As if your father being incapacitated and then dying meant he didn't have to keep acting a certain way. And after everything you've told me, it really seems like that was true. He had to be a certain person because of your father, but with you as king, he can be more himself." Wincing, Arthur nodded. "In some ways, you're right. You know the sort of expectations my father had," Arthur murmured. "You know what he thought about the appropriate distance and behaviors between nobles and servants. While Leon has never been like those who went out of their way to dismiss or demean servants, he also had firm expectations about roles and propriety. It's just how we were raised. His father was as firm on it as mine. Unlearning that isn't easy. You've helped him on that as much as you have me." Arthur smiled. "But he's always been the type that believes nobility comes with responsibility as much as privilege. There were times he had to physically hold himself back from taking another knight or even courtier to task for their treatment of a servant that he felt was out of bounds, or at a knight that was being too harsh on their squire. My father wouldn't have tolerated such things. Leon knows he could do that now, as long as he could justify his response to me." Merlin shook his head fondly. "Considering what you let me get away with, I can't imagine there's much you'd chastise him over," Merlin said, lips curled up into a teasing grin. Arthur returned the teasing with perhaps more honesty than Merlin had expected. "I hate admitting to needing anyone," Arthur murmured, "but I need you two more than I care to think about. And Gaius. Gwen, too, for all that things didn't work out between us romantically. I need people who believe in me, but who also won't hesitate to hold me to being the man I claim to want to be. Sometimes that means doing what you know is right and challenging me to back you for it." Grin fading into a thoughtful look, Merlin nodded. "We each have something different to offer you." Arthur nodded. "I was told that a king shouldn't rule with heart," Arthur said quietly, "but only a foolish king disregards advice from those he trusts most." Merlin shrugged. "Perhaps not, but you aren't really ruling with just one heart, are you? You have me, and Gwen, and Leon, and Gaius, and the others too. If you ever doubt, we're here. I know your father would have told you that was wrong, but you don't have to be the king he tried to mold you into being. You can be the king you want to be." Smiling, Arthur replied, "Leon has told me that many times too. Keep reminding me of that, will you?" Merlin smiled. "I promise," he assured. They talked of a few more particular incidents as the night wore on. Just before dawn, Arthur insisted Merlin get some rest. With a reluctant nod, Merlin murmured, "I'll be back in a few hours with breakfast." As the door closed behind Merlin, Arthur leaned forward and rested his head on the bed near Leon's arm. "You have to wake up," Arthur murmured, as exhaustion finally claimed him. "I swear I'll go do something you disapprove of if you don't." He doubted Leon heard him, but the threat made him feel better anyway. Chapter 3. The Reconciliation. Leon's eyes responded slowly to his command to open. When they did, he wondered if he was still dreaming. "You're awake. Good, that's good." No, that truly was Arthur's voice, gentle and caring in a way that it had not been in some time. "What?" Leon tried, but found his mouth too dry. Arthur grimaced. We need to do this carefully. I'm going to help you sit up enough to drink some water. You can't pull the wound on your stomach too much. It's still healing. It was too close, Leon. So just let me do this, all right? Leon blinked slowly, but nodded. With great gentleness, Arthur helped him up enough that it was safe to drink. Just take it slowly, not too much, Arthur reminded. Obeying the order was difficult, given how thirsty he was, but Leon forced himself to do so. He couldn't disappoint Arthur any more than he already had. When he'd finally had enough, Arthur gently eased him back down on the bed. What happened? Leon asked, feeling more awake after a few minutes and the water. Arthur grimaced. What's the last thing you remember? Arthur asked. Leon frowned as he tried to focus his hazy mind. The assassin. Nodding, Arthur assured. He's dead. I think your actions caught him off guard. Percival carried you to Gaius. Once the immediate danger was past, we brought you to the empty chambers right beside mine. Given the number of people eager to sit with you, there wasn't enough space in your own chambers. The last part was supposed to be humorous, Leon could tell that by Arthur's tone, but it was a forced humor. Merlin was able to use his powers to help enough that the wounds weren't fatal, but he wasn't able to heal you fully due to the poison on the blade and, well, limits on magic by the old religion, I guess, Arthur explained. Merlin offered to try again to see if he can speed things up for you, but Gaius didn't want to risk too much at once, given how little healing experience Merlin has. Something about possibilities of making things heal wrong. I thought you'd rather take longer to heal than risk that. Leon blinked, the implications of the words heavy, especially given his still somewhat muddled thoughts. One fact stood out clearer than the rest, though. You gave Merlin permission to use his magic to heal me? Leon murmured questioningly. That was a surprise. Arthur still hadn't made any sort of official decree on rescinding the magic ban, so that was entirely unexpected. I couldn't let you die, Arthur admitted, voice so small that for a moment, it wasn't a grown man and king sitting at his bedside, but the young boy Leon had first met as a squire. I can't lose you. Carefully, Leon reached up to grip Arthur's forearm. Arthur clasped his back with as much strength as he thought Leon could bear. I have no desire to leave you, sire, Leon assured softly. Closing his eyes, Arthur took a shuddering breath. Leon knew his words had deeply affected his king, but he hadn't expected them to hit so hard. I forgive you. I understand why you made the choice you did. You were trying to protect me. You always do, even when you know I wouldn't thank you for it. You've never been anything but loyal and devoted. It shouldn't have taken this for me to come around, Arthur said, voice cracking. The idea that you could die thinking I was angry with you. For a moment, Leon considered telling Arthur what his last thought before losing consciousness had been, but he opted not to. It would only hurt him more, and Leon didn't want that. Instead, Leon just squeezed his forearm with what little strength he had. You are my first knight and will be for as long as we both draw breath, Arthur assured. But you are also my friend. I can't allow myself to forget that so easily. Leon frowned. Forgive me speaking ill of the dead, but Uther did his best to make you think having friends or being close to anyone was weakness. It's no wonder you still struggle with it. Arthur laughed, but it was a hollow, almost bitter sound. In some ways, I think he might have been right. It's been nearly a week and I've barely left your bedside. Gwen bullied me into sleeping in my own bed 3 nights ago, and she stayed with you while Percival stood guard for the night. The rest of the round table has been running interference for me on anything else. Smiling faintly, Leon said, Gwen has always had that way about her. Gets it from her mother, I think. She was kind, but firm. Sobering, Leon added, I wouldn't have asked you to stay like this, but I am grateful that you did. And your father was wrong, sire. Caring is not weakness. Swallowing hard, Arthur murmured, Gaius agrees with you. Maybe someday I'll learn that if you, Gwen, Gaius, and Merlin all agree on something, you're probably right. Leon's smile grew at that. If his injury helped mend the rift between Merlin and Arthur, that was a good thing. I should probably send for Gaius, Arthur murmured. Already done. Arthur turned to see Merlin hovering in the doorway. Leon couldn't really sit up, but he hoped Merlin saw his smile and nod anyway. It was only then that Leon realized Arthur was still clinging to his arm. His king must have realized it too. He let go, but was clearly reluctant to do so. "Glad to see you're awake," Merlin offered as he came over to stand by Leon's bedside. Leon wondered how long Merlin had been standing there, but Arthur beat him to asking. Merlin smiled gently and shook his head. "I stepped back out when I realized you two were having a moment. Waited until I couldn't hear anything through the door to poke my head in again." Arthur rolled his eyes. "Only you would phrase it that way." Doing his best to look innocent, Merlin replied, "Only saying what I see, sire." With a snort, Arthur replied, "A day will come when you say that word without sarcasm." "Doubtful," Merlin teased, as Leon thoughtlessly murmured, "Unlikely." Merlin and Arthur both turned to Leon in surprise. Merlin grinned widely at him while Arthur looked affronted. Wishing he could shrug, Leon merely offered, "Sire, he hasn't yet. Why would that change?" Merlin laughed out loud as Arthur sulked. "I suppose you have a point," Arthur muttered. Gaius stepped in a moment later. "I'm told my patient is awake," Gaius stated as he walked towards the bed. "And so he is." Leon nodded. "I have you and Merlin to thank for that, I'm told. Thank you." Gaius patted Leon's arm. "Just doing my job." Merlin shrugged. "Arthur's got you all broken in properly. He'd be unbearable if he had to start over." Arthur scoffed. "No respect in my own castle," Arthur lamented. With a small, tentative smile, Leon replied, "You'd be bored otherwise." Arthur smiled ruefully at that. "I suppose you're right," Arthur allowed. Gaius sighed in fond exasperation. "Now, if you two will please step back so I can check on my patient." In a faux whisper, Merlin muttered, "I think we're being told to get out of his way." With a raised eyebrow, Gaius silenced further commentary. Standing back and letting Gaius check Leon over shouldn't have been difficult, but Arthur found it so anyway. He wasn't ready to be away from Leon's side. Not yet. It was foolish, childish even, to be so rattled, but still, for once, Arthur didn't care. Leon would not judge him for it. He hoped Merlin wouldn't either. At long last, Gaius finished changing Leon's bandages and declared him well on the way to healing. He bid his patient get more rest and promised to have the kitchens send up some broth for him. "Sire, I know you have many things that need your attention," Leon said quietly. He did. There was no denying that, but Arthur shook his head anyway. "It can all wait a little longer," Arthur promised as he moved to sit on the edge of the bed. Leon frowned at him. "When was the last time you slept?" Arthur huffed. "I'm not the one who nearly died," he grumbled. Merlin, the traitor, did not hesitate to answer Leon's question. "He got a few hours hunched over with his head on your bed," Merlin reported dutifully, "which is basically what he's done every night. Percival, Elian, and Gwaine have taken turns standing guard overnight." Arthur frowned. He didn't know that and said as much. "They're willing to trust the normal guards during the day when there's plenty of activity in the castle, but with Leon incapacitated and you this... vulnerable, no one is taking any chances overnight," Merlin explained. Vulnerable. Arthur hated that word, but he couldn't deny it fit his current state. He'd been hurting, angry, and distracted before Leon was hurt. That was nothing compared to his emotional state for the last week. Part of him understood why his father seemed so reticent to ever express emotions. They were difficult and painful and exhausting. "I'm not up to more visitors yet," Leon admitted quietly, shame coloring the edges of his tone. "But after I rest more, I would wish to see them." Merlin smiled. "I'll pass on the message and go see about that broth." He slipped out of the room, and Arthur was alone with Leon again. "Will you try to rest if I do?" Leon asked. Arthur couldn't help himself. He clasped Leon's forearm again, letting the grounding touch anchor him, reassure him that this was real. Leon was awake, and he would mend. His friend would heal, and despite everything, their friendship had the chance to heal. Only because I know you'll worry about me rather than yourself, Arthur murmured. These last weeks, and still you put me first. The edges of Leon's lips twitched into a tired half-smile. It is what I swore to do, Leon reminded him. Arthur tightened his grip on Leon's arm, but could not find the words to respond. Arthur was exhausted. It was etched into every line of his face. He needed rest. Leon wasn't capable of much in this state, but he was reasonably certain that this was a task he could manage. After Merlin bustled out of the room with the tray carrying the dregs of the broth for him and porridge for Arthur, the cook and Merlin both having agreed it would be unfair to taunt Leon with the smells of better things he couldn't have, and a promise to check on them both later, Leon considered his options. The bed he was in was much larger than his own. There was room for two, if they were careful about it. You need rest, more than just what you can get sitting in that chair, Leon said. He watched as his king's shoulders tightened, a sure sign that Arthur was preparing to dig his heels in. Arthur, Leon said gently, using his king's first name to get his attention and forestall argument. I'm not trying to convince you to leave. I'm trying to get you to look after yourself, too. Lay down. There's plenty of room. Eyeing the other side of the bed cautiously, Arthur murmured, Don't want to hurt you. Leon smiled. You won't. It's hardly the first time we've done this. Seemingly despite himself, Arthur smiled. Been a while, though, Arthur pointed out. Drooping a little, he said, Not since you left for your circuit. That seemed like a lifetime ago. Camelot had been through so much in recent years. It was nothing short of a miracle that they'd weathered it all as well as they had. They'd suffered, they'd taken losses. But they were still here, and their spirits were not broken. I hope you've not thought I'd turn you away all this time, Leon said. Arthur shook his head. No, I told myself I didn't need it. It was one thing to sneak to your chambers after an argument with my father when we were both little more than children. It was okay to let you stay with me, to accept comfort when I was a young knight experiencing serious injury for the first time, or when I first lost men under my command. But then you were gone, and there was no one to turn to. So I just convinced myself I didn't need it anymore, that I'd grown beyond the need for comfort. It was easier than admitting I just didn't have anyone I could trust enough. By the time you came back, I didn't know how to even ask for it anymore. So I just didn't. Leon closed his eyes and let out a long, slow breath. Guilt washed over him all over again. He'd left Arthur alone. That's what it came down to. I should have tried to get out of the circuit, Leon murmured. He'd forgotten Arthur still clutched at his forearm until the grip tightened. It was experience you needed and its tradition. There were already enough issues with all the favoritism accusations. You'd have jeopardized your position. I would never have let you, Arthur insisted. That was true, and Leon couldn't deny it. He was more skilled than any of his age mates for a reason. He'd always been dedicated in his training, but once he was involved in Arthur's, he'd had to work even harder to prove he deserved it. I'm always here if you need me, Leon said, trying to bring them back to his original point. And you know I will never judge you, so please, just get in bed and get some decent rest, even if just for a little while. With a heavy sigh, Arthur stood and moved around to the other side of the bed. He slipped off his boots and climbed into the bed. He settled on his side, facing Leon. Now stop worrying about me and get some rest yourself, Arthur groused. Leon smiled and let his eyes drift shut. A few hours later, Merlin quietly slipped into the room. A warm smile blossomed across his face at the sight before him. Leon and Arthur were both fast asleep. Arthur was on his side, partially curled up, one hand extended so his fingers just brushed Leon's arm. It was one of the most endearing things Merlin had ever seen. It was also a source of great relief. He could believe now that Leon and Arthur were going to be okay. they'd made it through. The end.